The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
From the first of all of the fruits, Asher Tovi Me'atzecho, which you shall bring from your land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nesein Loch, which Hashem will give you, V'samta V'atene, you shall put it in a basket, V'halachta Alamokam Ashivchar Hashem Elokecha L'shakein Shmeishom, and you shall go to the place which Hashem has chosen for His name to dwell there. That's Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash. And then the Parsha tells us the details of the mitzvahs bikurim. Which fruit should you bring the first fruits from? Which grains? And you bring it, what you do with it. And ultimately it's given to the Kahanim, as Matnes Kohuna, as gifts for the Kahanim. Besides the mitzvah of bikurim, of bringing the first fruits, there's another mitzvah mentioned here. And that's what is known as mitzvah kriya, mevi vikore. The minatore, he has to bring the bikurim, and he has to be kore, he has to read from a parsha in the Torah. And that's what it tells us in Posuk Hei, v'onisa v'amarto. When he has these fruits, he has to exclaim. Rashi says, v'onisa loshen harom es kol. He has to lift up his voice and say, before Hashem, your God, Arami Ovid Ovi. Arami refers to someone who was from Aram Naharaim. This refers to Lovan. Lovan destroyed my father. This means that when Lovan was pursuing after Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to destroy he and all of his wives and all of his children. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. So actually, it should say Arami wanted to destroy. So Rashi brings Sheba'akum Cheshev LaMakodesh Baruch Hu Machshava Roa Kemaisa. By the Rishoyim, by the evil, even what they attempt to do, if it's something evil, HaKodesh Baruch Hu considers as if they had already done this. By Yered Mitzrayim, and then from there we went down. My father went down to Egypt. He went with a small group. And there he became a great and mighty nation. Great multitudes. And the Egyptians were evil to us. They afflicted us. And they placed on us heavy slavery. And we cried out to Hashem, the Lord, our God, the God of our fathers, and our God, Vayishma Hashem es koleinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu heard our voice, Vayar es onyeinu, Vesamaleinu veslachatzeinu. He saw all of our affliction, our labors, our difficulties. Vayotzeinu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazokav zerei netuya v'mora godol. And he took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with a great fear, and with great signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place, and he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of this land, which you have given to me, v'inachna lifnei Hashem elokecha, v'yishtachavisa lifnei Hashem elokecha, and he places it before Hashem, your God, and he bows before Hashem. V'samachti v'chol ateva shenosan l'cho Hashem elokecha, v'leveisecho atov v'alevi v'hager asher bikirbecha. And you shall rejoice in all of the goodness which Hashem, your Lord, has given to you, your household, the Levi, the stranger, which is amongst you. Now, this that he reads, like we mentioned, this is a mitzvah min HaTorah, mevi v'kore. He brings the first fruits, and he has to read this parsha which we just mentioned. Now, this is something we can give thought to, because it's the custom of all lands that if someone gives you something good, so the recipient says thank you. And if that someone gives you is very, very good, it's great. Or if the one that gives it to you is great, he's an Odom Godel, a great person, he's a Melech or a Tsar, a king, a nobleman. So then not only do you say thank you, but also you give him Shvach Vahidor, you give him praise. But we don't find that you go into a lengthy discourse and you tell them a whole story and you go into an entire historical account. Here, Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us the first fruits. So we must bring the first fruits and say thank you. But not only that, we're obligated to go into a long story, an historical account. We start from way back. Fact is, we go six generations back, all the way to Lavan, Yaakov. Lavan was one generation after Avram Avinu. And we go back some 400 years. Not only that, but everyone is obligated in this Kriya. Not only this generation that's coming into Eretz Yisrael now, but even the later generations that came in 50 years, 100 years later, centuries later, are also obligated in all of this. So why do we find that we become so involved in history? Now, in answer to this question, and to expand the understanding of this, there are kama nukudais. There are many, many points, one deeper than the other. So let's see if we can explain some of this evening. First of all, all of the nations of the world are very preoccupied with writing of books of Sipur HaDeiros, which is known as history. This is something which takes place now, and it's something which always took place. The fact is, they find amongst ancient nations all types of various writings that depict the history of that particular people, their particular kings, their particular wars, their famines, and so forth. And people say that there are those who write the books of the history, there are those who read the books and study the books of history, and then there are those who make history. But all of this, in regards to the nations of the world, this doesn't have a vast scope. In fact, it has a scope which is very narrow, very limited, and very fragmentated. Because generally a nation will write about itself, the history of its own nation, its own people. It'll write about the time it knows of. It'll write about the place where they are. It'll write about the particular people that they know of. You might find history at a little more broad level, where they will write about even nations that are not their own nations, or perhaps even times in history that are not their own times. But again, this is miuchad. This is always bears down. He'll usually tell you, the writer, I'm covering the period of time from this date to that date. I'm covering this period of geography, these people, and so forth. So it's very fragmentated. By Klal Yisrael, we're also a nation that is very obsessed and very, very preoccupied with history. But it's a little different. Firstly, our history that we study and that we learn about and that we write about is not fragmentated. It covers time from beginning to end. It starts with the creation of the world. Fact is, it starts even before the creation of the world. Because the Chazal and the Midrashim tells us, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create before the creation of the world? Esed Vorim Shenivru Kodem, my Sebereshus. There were many things that he made before the creation. It doesn't cover merely the creation. It doesn't cover the times after creation. Rather covers all of the way to the Sof HaYomim, to the end of days. To the time when the Giloy of Malchus Shemaim, the perfection of the world, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be known throughout the whole world. It covers even after that, Techiyas HaMesim, when the dead will rise again. And our history even covers what happens after the world, Olam Haba, the world to come. It doesn't cover a particular nation or a particular people or particular individuals in isolation. But our history covers the creation of all of the people, of all of the sons of Adam Arishon, are clearly depicted in the Torah, of all of the nations that came from Noah, 70 nations. And not in isolation, but in the scope of the entire world. What role do they play in the entire world? What role did Abraham play in the entire world? The Oves, the forefathers, Moshe Rabbeinu, the giving of the Torah, the giving of Eretz Yisrael, the building of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech, and all the way to the end of days. So first of all, the history we're interested in is not in isolation or in fragmentation, covering a specific scope of time, a specific period of time, a specific locale, or a specific nation. So this could be true. This is world history, more than world history. This is the history of the creation from before the creation till after the creation, and encompasses everything that creation does. And the writers of our history, first of all, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Sefer Torah. And then, which was HaYedei Moshe Rabbeinu, given to us. And then the Nevi'im, the prophets. And then the Anshei Knesset Gedola, and all of our Chazal, all of our sages. But even more so, we're not interested as an end in itself to write history or to study history or to debate history. But we live history. History becomes inseparable from our lives. And not only at times, but all of the time. We could bring examples of this from all of the Ma'adim, all of the Yom Tovim. Every Yom Tov has its source in an historical event of which we relive this historical event. If it's Zman Chiruseinu, the going out of Egypt, Zman Mantante Ruseinu, the giving of the Torah. Or we could bring as an example the various mitzvahs that the Torah tells us to hinge, to link to history. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Remember what Amalek did to you. Or the many, many mitzvahs that a zeichel etzias Mitzrayim, that you should remember the going out of Mitzrayim. But we don't have to come on to that. It's far more than that. Every Shabbos is zeichel ma'aseh bereishis. It's to remember the creation of the world. And all halakot Baruch Hu built the world, and on Shabbos he rested. Or we are commanded, maskirin yitzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom. Every day we must live together with the historical fact that we went out of Egypt. Every day. And according to the Chachomim, gam b'layla, at night also. And even every time we eat, when we bench, what do we say? Amongst all of the other things. Neidelecha Hashem Elokeinu, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashinchalta laviseinu, Eretz Chem Leteva Rachava. That you gave us the land of Eretz Yisrael, you gave to our fathers. And that you took us out of Egypt. You took us out of the slavery. You gave us the bris milah you gave to Avraham Avinu. And that you gave us the Torah. You taught us the Torah. Now, we go through a history lesson every time a person eats and bench. And what kind of history lesson is it? It goes through the whole scope of time. This is aside from the fact of all of this that's mentioned continually and constantly in all of our tefillos of every day and many of our brachos. Now, we said there are many, many points for this. Why? Many nekudos. Let's mention some this evening. But we won't be able to, there are a number of them, and we won't be able to elaborate too much on each one. We'll have to be concise. The first reason is, and the first point, is because this is the reality. It's the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, and he rested on Shabbos, and Shabbos brings a Kedushas HaShabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos. Shabbos is with us every Shabbos. And the same thing, the sanctity of Yom Tovim are with us every Yom Tov that comes around. And it is a reality that the same thing on the other side of the scale, that there were Avdei Aved Zora in the world, idolaters, from the time of Abraham and before, from the time of Terach. And that force is in the world. And Esav, the hands of Esav are in the world. And the greatness of Yaakov Avinu is in the world. And the light of Torah, the light of the giving of the Torah is constantly in the world. And the power of the oncoming perfection of the world through the Ben David, the son of David, is in the world. This is with us. And the Chazal, the sages, wanted us to see the world the way it is, not the way it's not. We do not live in a cave. We do not live on the top of some remote mountain. A person lives in the reality, and this is the reality. And in order to see the reality, we have to be aware of everything that took place in the past, and it's still here. So if a Jew wants to live in the real world, he has to see the real world. It's true, the kafirim, the atheists, and maybe the evolutionists, they'll see the apes and the monkeys. They're not seeing the real world. But if you want to live in the real world and see the real world, then you can't live without seeing the giving of the Torah that's still here, or the idolatry that started that's still here. or David HaMelech, that his presence is still here, and so on and so on. So that's the first point. The second point is by seeing the real world and becoming conscious and cognizant of it, then we are able to see the entire world united. We are able to see all of creation linked together, not fragmentated, not every point in isolation. Like you go to a library and their history, they'll have different sections of history which covers different period of times, and one section is not necessarily related to the other. But we see that the Bria is Echad, the creation is one, and the Balabira is Echad, and the one who created it is one. And then we can understand that things that happen do not merely happen. They are not just mere coincidences that were thrown together by random forces. But they're an actual pattern where there was a pale and a pale yetze. There was a cause and an effect. Similarly, we see in last week's parsha, Kiseitze, it states that a person has a right. He was given permission to take a yafas to'ar. He saw a beautiful captive. But then the Torah goes on and tells us the responsibility of all of his deeds. Next speaks about where he had two wives. One was beloved and one was hated. And that was the yafas to'arah. And then the next, the Torah tells us where he had a son who was a ben seder omer, a rebellious son. And then the next parsha of the Torah tells us about a person who becomes a gangster and a murderer. And it goes on and on. Someone could think that what does one thing have to do with the other? Go into a library and you'll have different shelves covering these different subjects. It's not different shelves and it's not different subjects. Life is all one fabric. The creation is one fabric. And Anet the Chazal tell us, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera. That one evil act brings a second evil act with it, and a third evil act, and the same thing with a mitzvah. The Torah there in that parsha last week, Kiseitze tells us about someone who has a field and he fulfills the mitzvahs of the field, and then the next tells us that he has a vineyard and he fulfills the mitzvahs of the vineyard. And then the next tells us that he has many animals and he fulfills those mitzvahs. And then it tells us that he has the garments. And then he has a house, and so forth and so on. And the Chazal explaining, mitzvah gereres mitzvah. That one good act brings on another act. Good act. Now this is all in the personal life, but it's not only the personal life. A person doesn't live in isolation. This is in life, in a broader scope, and even in world life. This is forging history. The world was given to us. So, if we understand the reality, we can unite it all together as one picture, as one pattern. So that's the second point. And not things are just happening. The third point is, if that's the case, then a person can become wise. Why? Because he has eyes to see. Because I'll tell us, what is the difference between a fool and a wise man? A fool has no eyes. A wise man has. It states, Chochem einav bereishei uksil becheshech heilech. The wise man, he goes with open eyes. The fool, he goes with his eyes closed, like he's walking in the dark. If we look at the world where it's full of millions and billions of different things, and they're not linked together, and then we do not see the reality. If we do not see the reality, how can a person be a chochem? And you have to be a chacham in order to be able to guide your life properly and make the right decisions. And it states, Ezo chacham harei asanoled. Who is the wise? The one that can see what is forthcoming. It's not referring to Nebuah, prophet. But it's referring to the chacham, that a person has a power to see what is forthcoming. If he merely looks at the world, that everything is linked together, and you have your forces of cause and effect. Now, in order for a person to see the picture the way it really is, and to where he's going, the first thing he has to know is where he's coming from. You see, sometimes you meet a person and you'll ask him, where are you going? If he tells you, I don't know, you think something's wrong with that person. Here he's going, he doesn't know where he's going. But did you ever meet a person and ask him where he's coming from? And he says he doesn't know. That's for sure someone who's a meshuggah. He's coming. Where did you come from? He says, I don't know. Well, most of the world is that way, because they don't know where they came from. The evolutionists, for sure. That's the big quandary. Where did we come from? Now, you meet someone walking along. He's driving. Where are you going? I don't know. Hey, what an idiot. But where'd you come from? I don't know. That's something that we wouldn't even contemplate. But most of the world doesn't know where they come from. We are hammered all of the time where we're coming from. We are told about Adam. We are told about Noah. We are told about Abraham. We are told about Yitzchak. We are told about Yaakov. We are told about Mitzrayim. We're hammered every day. Where are we coming from? So a Jew for sure knows where he's coming from. Now, if we know where we're coming from, then there's a chance, if we use our seichel, that we can make good decisions in regards to where we're going. And this is why, for example, the Chazal tell us that Imreya Adam Yisurin Boinalov, Ifashvish B'maisov, if a person sees that, heaven forbid, he's being afflicted. So the average person will say, I don't know why. Because I'll say, what do you mean you don't know why? For sure you should know why. It says, examine your deeds and you'll find out why. Vashpesh b'maisov. Now, but they're talking to someone who knows where he's coming from. He knows what he's coming from and he puts everything together. The sages say he can know why. But the average person will tell you, how do I know? And even further, Chazal tell us, the Rambam brings this. He brings this in Hilchos Tshuva, that if a Medina, now we're talking about the scope of world history, if a Medina, if a state, a whole city, a whole community, a whole state sees that they're being afflicted, you don't just go on and say, we don't know why. And we live in a whole world that's being afflicted all of the time. The whole world is a world of famine. It's a world of wars. So the mitzvah is that you bring out the chatzetzres and the shefres. You're supposed to bring out the trumpets and the shefres. And you're supposed to gather the people together and blow the shefres and the trumpets. And zo'oko, you're supposed to cry out to Hashem. And you decree Tanesim, fast days. Now the Rambam says, what for? What's that going to do? How's that going to stop the wars? And how's that going to stop plague? I mean, what is it, some type of kishud that with the trumpet you'll stop the plague? He says, no. He says, because then the people will realize, it's an awakening to the people, where is all that coming from? It's coming from their deeds. It's a Mishnah Novus, which states, if you see famine It says why it's coming. If you see drought, why it's coming. If you see plague, it tells you why it's coming. And that's for the acts of the people. Because we don't live in isolation. So they'll bring an awakening to the people that their deeds are bringing this. And if they change their deeds, then they can change the effects. And the same thing will happen to the contrary. If something good happens to a person, we spoke about this not long ago. Something good happens to a person, and you ask him, why are you having so much good luck? What's he going to tell you? He's going to tell you, shh, don't talk about it. Canine horror. See, I don't know. See, what do you mean you don't know? Person has to know. He was given a seichel. We see that from the sages. It's all kind of stories in the Gemaras, in Sechta Megillah. They came to one sage after the other and they asked him, "By Meharach to Yomim, why did you live so long? What are they asking these questions for? How's he supposed to know?" And each one gave an answer why he lived so long. He had studied the issue and he was able to come to a conclusion. If, heaven forbid, something bad comes to a person and the person was given a power to understand why, so then certainly if something good comes to a person, the person was given the power how to understand why. So this is the Chochem Eina Bereishai, because the Chochem goes with his eyes open. But this is only if you see the world as one picture. So therefore, another important reason is we have to see the reality. We have to live in the reality. And through this, we can be Chachomim. We can have our eyes open. Then there's a further point, further reason. And that is, if we see the world in this light, then we know who to give thanks to. That the world is one world, one creator, we know who to give thanks to. For example, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when after the war of Abraham, where he went and intervened in the war between the five nations and the four nations, and he freed his nephew Lot and the people. So he came to, he was in Yerushalayim, and he came to Malki Tzedek. This is in Bereishis Yud Daled Posuk Yud Ches. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hotzi Lechem V'Yoin. Malki Tzedek, who was the king of Sholem, that was actually the Shem, the son of Noach, and Sholem was Yerushalayim. He brought out bread and wine. V'hu Kein L'Kel Elyon. And he was a Kohen, a priest to Hashem. V'yavorchehu V'yomar. And he blessed him and he said, Baruch Avraham. Blessed is Avraham. So that's what he said first. Then he said, Uvaroch Kel Elyon. Blessed is the great God. What did Avraham tell him? The Midrash says, Avraham told him no. He says, why do you bless me before you bless Hashem? You have the story wrong. You're not seeing the story properly. First you must bless Hashem. And then you must bless me if you want to see the reality properly. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source of all goodness. And then you can give a brocha to a boss of a dom, to a person also. Another such example is when it states that Abraham made an eshel, and he vayikra b'shem Hashem Kel Elyon, and he called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, b'kol godl, He let the world know. So the Midrash tells us he had an orchard. He built a hotel, an inn, a lodge, and people used to come, and he used to invite the people in, and he would give them food to eat, the travelers. And when they would finish eating, they would thank him. And Avram would say, "Why are you thanking me? You must thank he who the food belongs to." So they would look at him and they would say, "Well, we think the food belongs to you." He'd say, "No." And he would teach them about Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, Vayikra, Mishem Hashem Kel Elyon. He taught the world about Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he had a different perspective of world history. And the same in our parsha. When we bring Bikurim to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we give it to the Kohen, we can see this as new fruits. We can even see this as new fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Now there has to be another perspective. This has to be a perspective that when we see these fruits, we see Avodim Hayinu. We were slaves to Parai Mitzrayim. We see Lovan Bikesh. That Lovan Arami Evir Ovi. Lovan Bikesh Lakar Esakol. That Lovan wanted to destroy us totally. We see in these fruits Vayanunu, Vayitzak, that they afflicted us. We called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see in these new fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us from Egypt, Biyad Chazoka, Vizraya Natuya, with a strong hand and outstretched arm. Ube Meira Godel, with a great fear. Ube Eiseis Ube Mausim. We see in these fruits the splitting of the sea. Now, how do you see all of that in fruits? And ask anybody in the world what he'll see in a fruit. He takes a new fig or a new date. Or the vine, or the oil. What are you seeing? The chemist will tell you what he sees. The nutritionist will tell you what she sees. The farmer will tell you what he sees. He sees panos in it. That's not the whole picture. That's a very, very small part of the picture. The whole picture, that's the parsha that we read, what's in this fruit. And this is the same not only when we bring Bikurim, but this is even when we eat and we bench. Here we're eating something, and we bench, and all of a sudden we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we start giving a history lesson. We start talking about the Eretz Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave our fathers. We start talking about the Bris Milah, what he commanded to Avraham Avinu. We start talking about the giving of the Torah in Har Sinai and everything that he teaches us. But what does this have to do with the piece of bread that we're eating? So the answer is, in what world are you living? Or better yet, are you living in the world or you're not living in the world? If you're not living in the world, so it's a piece of soil that grew some fruit, that grew some bread, and that's it. It has a commercial value. The businessman sees the commercial value in it. The hungry person sees that it can fill his stomach. And so forth and so on. But if you're living in the real world, there's much, much more to that. And this is the history that Klal Yisrael is interested in. Now we can go further. There are further points. If a person has his feet on the ground, you see, we're not talking here about Reisha Bashamayim, heads in the heavens. We're talking here about feet on the ground. A If a person has his feet on the ground properly, and this is the world that he lives in, then this makes a person both great and small. First of all, it makes him great because it brings a great vision to him. He's not walking in the middle of a jungle, isolated from the rest of the world. He's not even walking on the broad street, isolated from the rest of time. He's walking in all of time. And he sees the greatness of the individual that plays a role in all of time. So it makes a great person out of the individual. He has such a vision. And this is the Chochem Reisha Einu Bereisha. When he sees something, he can see where it came from generations back. He can see where it's going generations forward. My Rebbe Zichron Livracha, he used to say things that would happen. He wasn't a Novi, he wasn't a prophet. He used to say things that would happen as Dvorim Pshutim, as simple. He would say, Das kann nicht sein anders. It can't help but happen. It cannot be different. And these things that he would say could take 5 years, 10 years, or 40 years. I know many things he said 40 years ago. But they would happen exactly the way he said it. Exactly. To the T. And if you ever would approach him and ask him, how did he know? Was he a Novi prophet? He would say, wie kann das sein anders? How could it not happen? Explain you exactly, link by link. That would have taken a miracle that something like that shouldn't happen. Because this is the world he lived in. So, from one end, this raises up a person. He's not just like another monkey running around the jungle. But on the other end, from the other aspect, this makes a person very small and humble. Why? This was in, we learned in just in a sedra that just passed in Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ekev, that's Vorim Ches, Posuk Yud Beis. It states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael about everything that I'm going to give you. And I'm going to bring you to this wonderful land. And it's a land, Leisechsa called by, it lacks nothing. It has water. It has grains. It has fruits. It has iron. It has copper. And you will eat and you will be satisfied, and you will bless Hashem. Then it states, Hishom Elocha, guard yourself. Because when a person starts to eat, and he has everything that he needs, there is the human nature, Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecho. You might forget all of this. Where you're coming from, where you're going. Levilti Shemor Mitzveisav U'Mishpotov V'Chukalsav Ashanochim Etzavach Hayom. You'll forget everything that I have commanded you. Pentechal visavoto. You will eat and you will rebel. And botim tovim tivne v'yeshofto. How often do we see this? A person is poor, he remembers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes wealthy, and he moves out of the poor neighborhood and he goes into the wealthy suburbs Uvatim tovim tivne, and he builds beautiful homes. V'yoshofta, and there he'll dwell. Uvekorcha, v'tzeincha, yirbuyun, and he'll become very wealthy with cattle and sheep. V'kesev, v'zov, yirbeloch. And silver and gold, v'chola shilocha yirba. V'rom levavecha. Now he becomes arrogant. He doesn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shachachtes Hashem elokecha. And he'll forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's interesting, right here it says he will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamotzi Achom Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, that has taken you out of Egypt, Mibeis Avodim. Why will he forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he'll forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that took you out of the Beis Avodim. He'll forget that one day he was a slave, and one day he had nothing. He had less than nothing. He didn't even have himself, because he was a slave to Paroi. That he'll conveniently forget. And who took you through the desert for 40 years, where there was no water or food to eat. And he fed you the mon. And what will the person say? You will say in your heart, Kochi ve'otzem yodi osali asachai lazeh. He will say, all of this wealth and all of this success that I've had, this is because of my talents. This is because of my achievements. V'zochartes Hashem alekecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you should remember Hashem, your God. Ki hu anesin l'chokeach l'asos koyol. He gave you the wisdom on how to make all of this wealth. He gave you all of this success. Because this is what he promised to your fathers. So, now, a person doesn't see the whole picture. What does he see? He sees that now he's doing well. Now he's tops, he's on top. Now he's got a beautiful home, he's no longer in the poor neighborhood. He's in the wealthy suburbs, you see. And now he's got his boats and his cars and everything else and his big business. And he forgot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. He forgot where he came from. He forgot the perspective of the entire world. If that's the case, Rom Levavecha, he becomes arrogant. He forgets. And he rebels. Doesn't need anything else. He lives in isolation. Doesn't need the whole world. So therefore, if a person doesn't have this perspective, he becomes arrogant. He becomes overblown. But on the other hand, if he does, so what does all this do to him? This is the Parsha of Bikurim. He has beautiful Eretz Yisrael. Lesech sakol bo, nothing is lacking. But he says, wait a minute. How's this possible? Avodim ayinu lepare b'mitzrayim. It wasn't long ago before we were slaves in Egypt. We had nothing. And he realizes how he got everything. Then it makes him small. Right? Makes him humble, and he realizes who is giving them all of this. So that's another difference in an vital importance in having a proper perspective in the world, the real world, the way it is. And the Chazal tell us that. In Parshas Vayeschanan, it's actually a Gemara in Chulin. Rashi brings it from a Medrash. In Parshas Vayeschanan, Perek Zayin, Posuk Zayin. So Hashem said like this. What Moshe is telling the people. He says, in Posuk Vav, Ki am kodosh ato l'Hashem elokecho. You are a sanctified nation to Hashem. Becho bochar Hashem elokecho liyos leila am skula mikol amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to be the most precious nation from all of the nations. Asher apnei adama, all across the earth. Then states, now why did Hashem choose you from all of the nations of the world? There are 70 nations in the world besides Israel. Why did he choose you? Generally, a king will choose an empire. He'll want the strongest, the mightiest, the biggest. Hashem says, Lemerubchem, not because you are the largest nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you and loved you. Ki atem ha-ma'at mikol ha-amim. But you are the smallest of all the nations. Now there are two interpretations, and what does it mean you are the smallest? One in number, but that really doesn't give reason why Hashem should choose you. Because you're the smallest, that's why Hashem chose you. So Rashi brings a medrash, which is also Gemara Masechet Chulin. What does it mean, Atem Hama'at, you are the smallest? Rashi says, Hamamatim Atzmechem, you are the only nation that the more I give you, the smaller you make yourselves. By all of the other nations, the minute I give them some brocha, they become arrogant. And they rebel against me. And they want to rule the world. But by you, the more I give you, you make yourself smaller. Kigain Avraham. Avraham, I gave all types of wealth. He became a mighty, mighty, powerful, wealthy individual. He was known as the Nasi Elohim. All of the nations came and they made him king. What did Avram say? Anechi of a wafer. What are you giving me? I'm but dust and ashes. Moshe and Aaron. Look at all of the power I gave Moshe and Aaron. They defeated the mighty nations of the world. They split the sea. What did Moshe and Aaron say? Nachnu mo. Who are we? What are we? You are the ham'at mikol ha'amim. You make yourself small. V'leich Nebuchadnezzar. Not like Nebuchadnezzar. When I gave him hunger, he claimed that he is the god of the world and he wanted to fight me. Or like Sancheiriv. Or like the other ones of the Goyim. So this, if a person sees and he lives in the world in its entire scope, then from one aspect, he will feel very, very great because he's part of a great plan and picture. From the other aspect, and he can influence everything, but from the other aspect, he will feel very small and humble. So that's an additional point. Now, there's a final point. In this, what we're speaking about. And this is based on a Gemara, which is rather strange. The Gemara says in Masechta Psochim, Arve Psochim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. This is a Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And at the end of the Mishnah says, how should we start the Haggadah Shel Pesach? So it says, Maskil Bignus U'Masayim Mishvach. When you start the Haggadah Shel Pesach, you must start from the unfavorable, unsavory parts. You must talk not about the praiseworthiness of Klal Yisrael, but you must speak about the genai, the shame of Klal Yisrael. Maskel bignus. Sai b'shvach, then later on, you come to the praiseworthiness of Yisrael. V'derish me'arami aved ovi at shigma kol ha'pashikula. And you speak about arami aved ovi, and much of the Haggadah Shel Pesach is brought from this parsha by the Bikurim. See? You bring from arami aved ovi that the one from Aram wanted to destroy our father. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we went down to Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and so forth and so on. Now, when it comes to be maskil bignus, what gnus? What does it mean we should start with that which is not praiseworthy, which is actually a shame and an insult to Klal Yisrael? Rav Omer mitchilas avdei avedis glulim hoyu. Rav says we start by saying that we come from idolaters. Our fathers, Hoyu Aviseinu. Shmuel says we start by saying that we come from slaves. Avodim Hoyinu. So it's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, our Haggadah Shel Pesach, we start like Shmuel, Avodim Hoyinu. We come from slaves. But after that, we bring in the what Rav said, that we come from idolaters also. So what we have, if you look in Haggadah Shel Pesach, it states as follows. Avodim, this is officially the Haggadah Shel Pesach starts, the Haggadah. Haggadah means the telling over of the story. So that officially starts, that's after the Manishtana. The Manishtana is just the questions to, in order that we can say over the story. It starts from Havodim Oyino Lepara B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Para. In other words, we're saying we come from slaves. Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Yod Chazokum Zareinu Tuyo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from there with a strong hand and outstretched out. V'ilula hitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es avisenu mimitzrayim, and if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out, harei anu v'neinu v'nevan and mishubadim el baru mitzrayim, we would still be there. Okay. Therefore, we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Shmuel. Then later on, a little later, shortly afterwards, we say, "Mitchila evdei kechovim hoyu aviseinu." Then our ancestors were idolaters. Achshav kervonu amokam lavedosay. Now, the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought us to His service, as it states, "Vayomi Yeshua el kolom." Yeshua said to the nation, "Ke'amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael." This is what God, the God of Israel, said. "Be'ever hanohor yoshvu aveseichem me'olam." Your fathers always dwelled on the other side of the river. This is in Mesopotamia. This is in Iraq, in Babel, Aram. Terach Avi Avraham ve Avi Nochor. We start with Terach, the idolater. You come from Terach. Terach was the father of Avraham and Nochor. Vayavdu Elohim Acherim. And they served other gods, they served idols. And I took Avraham from Ever Anor and I brought him here to Eretz Yisrael, Canaan. And I multiplied his seed. So, what we're doing is fulfilling the Gemara, the Mishnah. It says, Maschil Magnus, or Messiah Mishvach. We start with the not good things, with the insults. And then we come to the praise. And both. Now, if one gives thought to this, this is a Pella. This is a wonder. Besides, being Lashon Hara. But what person, what people expose their past if their past is insulting to them? You tell somebody, I come from slaves. There can be nothing greater, more insulting to a person. Everybody wants to tell over the yichus. There is no one that has less yichus than a slave. Because even if a person, he comes from poor people, he won't even say, my father, my grandfather was poor. But at least he's a free man. Person comes and says, where do you come from? I come from slaves. It's like somebody coming, where was the yichus of your great-grandfather? Oh, he was a criminal, he was in jail. If that's the case, do you advertise it? How did you get here? I was a criminal, and they exiled me, and this is how I got here. Is that what you write down? You exile it? People go to the greatest extremes to cover that up. And yet worse, what's your yichus? My grandfather was an idolater. That's my yichus. I come from Terach. What does Terach have to do with it? Come from Avraham. That's something. We start with Terach. Not allowed to start with Abraham. Says Maschilin Magnus. That's why Terach, Avisehem, we're aimed the Avedah Zorah. We come from idolaters. We come from pagan idol worshippers. How can that be? Especially if you're supposed to be B'nai Malochim. If you go to the European countries where there are nobilities, go to Austria, go to Germany, go to England, and go speak to France, go speak to the nobility. They'll tell you what kings they came from, what royalty they came from. Anyone who had a little bad record, now he's forgotten about. He's removed from the history of the family, heaven forbid. That they won't tell you. And here yet on Pesach, Pesach was supposed to be, it's the time of nobility. It's the time that we're the kings. Maschilin b'gnus. And the Machlekes is, which is the greater gnus? Which is the greater insult? If you come from idolaters or you come from slaves? How can that be? The Maral asks the question. What's the explanation of that? These things a person is supposed to cover up. He's not supposed to advertise. And not only that, we advertise in Barabim. And not only that, but this is what the Torah is saying. When he brings Bikurim, he starts to talk about his yichus. Avodim hayinu b'faril Mitzrayim. We were slaves. So in here is a deep reason. And the Maral says as follows. And actually, if the nations of the world would understand this, they would be a lot better off. He says, everybody wants to tell of their self-greatness. You go to the royal families. They'll have all the shields and the swords and the honor plates. And how many generations they'll be miyachas themselves back to 800 years, 1,000 years, 12, 1,400 years. See? They want to tell of their great yichus. They want to tell of their great levels. The Maral says that it's impossible for a great standard that a person or a nation has, or for a great level that a person attains, it's impossible that should come without being preceded by a gnus, without being preceded by the lowest level. And if it's not preceded by a low level, then that's a sign it's not a great level. He says, we'll give you kind of illustrations on it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what did he create first? Night or day? It says, Vayere Vayevoker. First he created the night, and then he created the day. But the day is a far greater level than the night. The answer is that a great level has to be preceded by a low level. If it's not preceded by a low level, that's a sign it's not a great level. Another illustration. Actually, the Gemara brings, it's a Gemara in Perek Abona, Masechta Shabbos, where someone asked him, he says, why when you walk with all of these sheep and the goats go first and the sheep follow? So he said, because the goats are black and the sheep are white. And Kesedah Briyasa Olam, the nature is ingrained in them, like the nature of the creation. In the creation was Hashucha B'ahakach Ora. First came darkness, and then came light. Another example. The first 10 generations of the world was darkness. The second 10 generations of the world were also darkness. The light didn't come to the world until Avraham Avinu, the 20th generation. states, Vayhi Or, let there be light. The physical light started right away. Spiritual light was only 20 generations later. Zu Avram Avinu. This was Avram. So there was spiritual darkness in the world for 20 generations. Then spiritual light came. Why? Why didn't it come immediately? The Gemara tells us that the world is destined to be 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years is Tohu, will be years of void and darkness. Second 2,000 years will be years of light. Third 2,000 years, that's the years of the Melech HaMashiach. He could come any time during the third period. Why was the first 2,000 years Tohu? Emptiness and void. There was no Torah in the world. There was no sustainable Torah until Avram came. Why were the second 2,000 years, 2,000 years of Torah? That's from Avram Avinu. Now, why couldn't this happen immediately? We see the same thing. Torah was given through Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. How did Klal Yisrael come to Har Sinai? From 400 years of Geri Yezaach Oberes Leilehem. Ba'avodu bi'inu Eishom. There was a decree of 400 years that they will be strangers in a land which is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and afflicted. And then they will go out to this mountain and they will receive the Torah. Took 400 years to come to that. Why? That the big Torah given right away. And even when they came, they went out of Egypt, there were 50 days. From the day they went out of Egypt until the day they received the Torah, there were 50 days. These were the 7 weeks of the Sefiras HaOmer. And on the 50th day, they received the Torah. Because they had to go up to the Shara Hamishim, to the 50th gate, which is the Shara Torah, the gate of Torah. But why did it take 50 days? Immediately. And this is what Achazal say, Malin Mekodesh Vein Merim. It's impossible to come to high levels if it's not preceded by low levels. Any level which comes without being preceded by low levels, that's a sign it's not a high level. We see this also in growth. Sometimes people like to think about Gedalim, that they were born that way. Heaven forbid. How's a child born? He's born not only without seichel, without any intellect or wisdom, but even physical faculties are limited to the smallest degree. Then he has to learn everything. He has to learn to open his eyes, to open his mouth. He has to learn to eat. He has to learn to digest. He has to learn to sit. He has to learn to walk, to stand, to walk. And then to talk. When he learns to talk, he learns a vowel at a time, a syllable at a time. Why not HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person? Well, at creation, when he's born, he's already has everything. And even in Torah, what does the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah always tells us. It states, Perikei ben hei lachumash. When he's 5 years old, he's ready to learn chumash. Yud, 10 years old, Mishnah. 13 years old, he's ready for mitzvahs. 15 years old, he's ready for Gemara. Why can't he learn Gemara at 5 years old? Why does he have to wait till he's 15? Ben Mem Lebino. When does he come to Bina to really understand things? When he's 40. Why is he so dense? It takes him 40 years to understand something. 50 la Eitzer. Eitzer is what is known as Eitzer Amuka. The depth. 50 years old. Shishim la Zikna. Zikna zeshe kona chochma. 60 years. Most of his life is gone already. So it comes out that most of his life is spent at intermediate levels, coming to a higher level, which is almost at the end of his days. Why? So the principle is, the Maral says, because we're speaking here of perfection, shlemus. Shlemus comes b'seif, not b'tchila. This is a very important principle. Perfection is something you aim for. Perfection is not something that you achieve to begin with. You see, perfection is built on multitudes of prior levels. So you have to have the multitudes of prior levels for the perfection, and therefore shlemus is always brought b'seif. Perfection always comes at the end. The longer it takes to achieve that perfection, that is a sign it's a greater level of perfection. The perfection of the world will come at the Gilui Malchus Shemayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and royalty is known throughout the whole world. And that's through the Melech HaMashiach. That comes at the end of days, in the last 2,000 years. That can't come in the early days. Perfection is something that you strive for till you reach it. You can't start with it. And the Maral consistently says that why is the Geula taking so long? That's a sign of the greatness of its level. This is one reason for this. So therefore, the nations of the world don't understand this. When they start to show their credentials, they start from, I am 5 centuries from King George. Or I am 5 centuries from this one that was a great warrior and he conquered Norway. That's where they start from. Because they're fools. If there was no Gnus before, then that level's worthless. The Jew comes and says, I was a slave. My grandfather, Terach, was an idolater. And look where I am now. That's a mila. That's a level. The genus is the greatest praise. If someone remained that way, but if someone is great now, and they started from a genus, the greater the genus, the greater the praise. So the Mishnah and Rav and Shmuel they're interested in praise, not in insults. But they say that's why Mesayim in Vishvach. You conclude with praise, but you have to be maskul bignus. And they're having an argument, what is a greater noose? What is a greater insult? To say that we came from slaves or we came from same for idolaters? We make a compromise. We mention both. There you see the greatness of the Jew. That is a second point in this. This is a second point. And that is, the both points, if you go into depth, are more or less the same. But there's a second perspective from it. If for something to be sustainable, it has to have a foundation. Anything that you build without a foundation will topple. And this goes right through the whole creation. A mountain, who can weigh the weight of a mountain? But it's going to have to be built with a good foundation, otherwise it'll topple. Who can weigh the weight of the ocean? It's going to have a very good foundation, otherwise it'll topple. I remember once they were once building a building, they were building a shul. And the committee members were complaining it's taking too long because they're still working on the foundation. They didn't see anything going up yet. So I knew the architect, so they wanted to know how long are you going to work on the foundation? So he told me, he says, what kind of question is that? He says, you don't know, ask how long you work on a foundation. He says, you work on a foundation as long as it's necessary. He says, you don't give a time limit to a foundation. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, put it up. And 1, 2, 3, and fall down. He says, what are they asking me? How long are we going to work on the foundation? He says, you don't rush a foundation. And that's what the Chazal always say, Malin Mekedish Mei Meriden. When you go for Kedusha, the higher you go, the slower the better. The slower the better. Step by step. But then there's another point also, because then it's coming from the person himself. The Maral brings that by the level of Odom Arishon and even the level of Noach, they didn't come from Genus. Odom Arishon had no, he had a wonderful background. Kodesh Baruch Hu created him, put him in Gan Eden. The same thing by Noach. We don't find anything wrong with Noach. He says that's why they fell. Because these were gifts that were given to them. These were not their own levels, that they started from nothing and point and step by step and inch by inch they built and built and built. The one that came from the bad past was Abraham. Avishenu Hoyu Evdi Averizora. And Abraham was Evedi Mohem. Abraham served Averizora with them. And he knew nothing of, no Torah was given to him whatsoever. He was on another side of the world from where there was some Torah. And what he did, he built inch by inch. He built inch by inch, slowly, slowly, until he came to the great Avraham Avinu. This is why the Maral says that Odom and Noach did not succeed, and Avraham did. He became the foundation for the world. So this is another reason why it's important to understand a perspective, a picture of the world as a whole and not in isolation. If a person looks at this in isolation, so what does one thing have to do with the other? Why is one thing different than the other? So we mentioned many points as to why that we also are obsessed with history. That our history is a history of the entire creation, all linked together from beginning to end. Excuse me. And it's not something merely to study. It's something to live. And we live by it. And the Jew must live by it. For all of these reasons that we mentioned. So here now we can throw a different light on this mitzvah that we mentioned. Of Mevi Vikore. B'hoyoki savo el ha'oretz. Asher Hashem elekecha neisen lecho nachalo. V'yirishtu v'yishavtu bo. When you come to the land which Hashem will give you. You shall take from the first of all of the fruits from your land, which Hashem gives you. You shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place which I have chosen for my name to dwell. Now we're not speaking. We're starting with fruit, but we're not ending with fruit. It's not limited or isolated to fruit. You got it to a young. You have to say to Hashem, And you go back to the history. Arami Oved Ovi. From Aram, he tried to destroy my father Yaakov. Vayeren Mitzrayimah. And we went down to Egypt. Vayogo Shom Bimseimeot. And we lived there. We went there with a small group. Vayisham Legay Godolot Zumborov. And there we became a great and mighty nation. Vayoreu Aisonu Amitzrim Vayanunu. And the Egyptians were evil to us, and they afflicted us. Vayitno Aleinu Avoda Kosho. And they put on us great slavery. And we cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. Vayishma Hashem, Eskeleinu. When Hashem heard our voice, Vayares Onyaneinu, Vesam Aleinu Veslachatzeinu. And he saw our affliction, our labors, and our lachats, our difficulties. Vayotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, and he took us out of Egypt. Vyod Chazok of Israel Netuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, uva Mora Godl, and with a great fear, uva Osis uva Maifsim, and with great signs and great wonders. Vayivienu al Amokam Azer, and he brought us to this place. Vayitan Lonu es Oretz Azos, and he gave us this land, Eretz of Ascholav Udvosh, a land of milk and honey, flowing of milk and honey. And now he nevesius reishis priadoma. All of this he's putting into this fruit. And now this fruit, this is the first of our fruits, which you have given to me. I bring this to you. V'inachta livnei Hashem alekecho, and he shall put it down before Hashem. V'ishtachaviso livnei Hashem alekecho, he shall bow to Hashem. V'samachta b'chol atov asher nosa nocho Hashem alekecho leveisecho. And he shall rejoice in all of the goodness which Hashem... So now we're not only talking about the fruits. We're talking about the history of the world and the history of Israel that's in these fruits. You and the Levi and the stranger which is amongst you. This gives us a very, very good perspective of how we have to view the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.